The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Got this freewheeling feeling that's come on strong. Got a 91 Ranger, got some cowboy songs. Got a fair-haired gal who makes me feel like I belong. We might head for West Texas as fast as we can. Pick a pearl from the river, put it on her hand. Just for the living goodness gracious, go and get as much as we can.
Letting that freewheeling feeling go ahead and take. The first song we're going to talk about is Freewheelin' Feelin'. And I have to tell you, we've had Jack Temption, who wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling, on the show. And this song does kind of remind me of that notion of a song about feeling. Instead of peaceful, you're freewheeling. And your music has been described, and let me know if I'm wrong, as having similarities to the Eagles and J.D. Souther and the whole California sound that they sort of get some credit for creating in the early 1970s. And so I really kind of felt this song being inspired by Glenn Frey when I was listening to it. Is there anything to this, or am I off the mark?
No, you're not off the mark, but it's funny that you mentioned J.D. Souther, because he's from Amarillo, which is like 2 hours or an hour and a half north of Lubbock, where I'm from. Amarillo, Texas is about as Texas as it can get. I met J.D. I was my first job in Nashville. I was valeting cars, and it was a, gosh almighty, talk about an awful, thankless job. You know, I didn't really know who this guy was when he pulled up, but it was like one of those things I felt like I ought to know him, because he kind of spoke like and kind of talked like how I speak and talk. You know, there's definitely a West Texas dialect, but he pulled up on this damn rocket sled on rails, you know, this like little BMW, and got out. Nice guy. And I wrote down his last name, and I asked for his last name for his claim ticket. And I was like, oh, this is J.D. Souther, you know. And then I like started kind of talking with him, and I was like, hey, you know, I know you're from Amarillo, I'm from Lubbock, and all this stuff. And so those songwriters, though, what J.D. does really well, and what Don Henley does really well, and Glenn Frey did really well, is there's really interesting chord progressions and really honest lyrics. I wrote Freewheelin' Feelin' on the piano. It started really, really simple. And then when I got to the chorus, I wanted something. It felt really basic. It felt, you know, the meat of it, the bones of it was this really simple thing. And then I started playing around with kind of slipping in some different progressions, you know, and or not progressions, it's slipping in different chords into the progression, and which on, for me, writing on piano kind of opens up my world a little bit. I feel like, you know, guitar is my primary instrument, but I'm kind of trapped sometimes in what, you know, when I pick up a guitar, I'll go to like one of three or four things, because I'm only really ever working on lyrics. So when I sit down at a piano, I feel like I always write differently at piano. But the lyric and the mood behind that song is, I worry about everything, man. Like, I'm never not anxious. And I've been trying to learn in the last couple of years of like, just kind of, you know, trusting in the nebulous and in the unknown. And when you can't see, you know, kind of what tomorrow is going to be, it could be anything. And that can be a good thing, you know, instead of only kind of like having that anxiety about this impending doom or whatever, just like trusting in that. The fear of the unknown doesn't have to be this big fear. It can be anything could happen. You
know? There's this book out that I'm going to read, because I also feel these moments of never-ending anxiety. I think we all do, especially during this pandemic. And I think it's called The Anxiety Loop, written by a psychologist, about how to break the cycle. Because big part of it is you get stuck on something, and you know what you're looking for. You're looking for a freewheeling feeling. But it's missing from the equation. But in it, he says, you need to focus on kindness and curiosity. To break the loop, you have to be curious about something else than what's causing your anxiety. And then also to focus on expressing kindness. And so I've been trying to do that in my own life.
Yeah, it's a true thing, that anxiety loop. It's like, for me, the minute that I think that I'm out of it and I think about the anxiety, then I'm right back into it. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'll have this moment throughout the day. I'm like, man, I felt pretty good today. I haven't thought about, you know, this hasn't been in the loop. And then all of a sudden it just hits that play button again. You know, I'll have to check that book out. But that feeling, definitely, like, for me, I write songs because I love to write songs. And of course, songwriting is cathartic. Absolutely. I think that that's probably the most common thread to writing songs, but I've dedicated so much of my life to it, to where sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like, it's a problem that I have to solve. And with Freewheelin' Feelin'.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's kind of been this reminder to myself to, like, in the simplest terms, like, try not to sweat the small stuff. Like, I will drive myself crazy. I have driven myself crazy with that type of stuff. And so it was listening to what that piano demo is, and I hope to God that nobody ever hears it because my piano playing is not great. But from where that song started to where it is now is almost kind of night and day. To go back and answer the original question, I think how the melody lays over the chorus and kind of the sentiment of the song, you know, it's probably absolutely inspired by the Eagles and that kind of 70s California stuff. All those songs were country songs. They were country songs with a little bit of swagger and a little bit more groove. That's all that, you know, you listen to early Eagles stuff, like that's to me what it sounds like. That's kind of, I don't know how I would describe my music, but I know that it's inherently country and that I want to have something that, you know, has a little bit of a groove to it. And so that's what the Eagles did the best. And we layer harmonies too.
Yeah, you have a lot of that Eagles harmonics, but you also have throughout the album, and I do want to talk about this. I think it's more distinctive on some of the other songs, but it is on this song. There are definitely multiple guitars, and not just guitar players and styles, but actual guitars. And you made me think about, like, what kind of guitar are they playing that's making that sound? And what kind of style is it? A slide? At, you know, is it finger picking? Is it flat picking? But you talk about this Gibson J50 that was given to you by a friend. Who gave that to you, and what's the story behind that?
A friend of our family, one of my dad's friends, Bob, he passed away, and I played guitar with him like once several years ago, and he had this beautiful 66 Gibson J50. And for the people that aren't aware really out there of what that guitar is, for an amateur pick, Bob sold cars, you know, for a car salesman. That's a hot rod. You know, it's a great guitar.
It's a hot rod guitar.
Yeah, like it's a great acoustic guitar. And it sounded so good. And there was yellow on the binding, you know, from years of cigarette smoke. And Bob took care of that guitar, though, so well. He took it out of that case and started picking on it. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this guitar? I'd never seen. It had a narrower neck, which is something that Gibson did in the 60s to try to inspire kids. Because, you know, the Beatles were all the rage. So they were trying to inspire kids to start taking guitar lessons, you know. So they built this little narrower neck on those models, and guitar just felt great. And he was a good picker too. And we traded songs back and forth, and we played together. And that was kind of it, you know. And unfortunately, he passed away about a year or two after that. And my dad called me, and I got word that his family left me that guitar. It was a big deal for a couple of different reasons. One, it's like, to me, I can't put into words what that gift is. Just the instrument by itself, it's the best instrument I have in my house. It's something that I will keep my whole life. And the amount of songs that it's had in it, and the amount of songs I've written on it in the last couple of years, the places that I've gotten to take it, you know, like I use that guitar in the studio, the cool shows in Nashville, you know, like the Bluebird stuff. I always kind of think, like, anytime that there's a moment that I know that needs to be a moment that I kind of keep in the old filing cabinet, I always kind of think, man, Bob would have thought this was really cool, because he never would have thought this guitar would have seen what it's seen. I feel proud to be able to give it more life, because the guitar is better than I'll ever be.
So I talk about sound on this show a lot, and I've really been challenged to find words to describe sound. How would you describe the sound of the Gibson J50 guitar?
Warm and honest, you know? It's a full-bodied, warm sound. It's not too dark. It's not too bright. For me, my Rode guitar, my Rode acoustic is a J45. It's on the darker side. I switched out the pickup in it, and it has a blend on it, so I can brighten it up a little bit. But it's a darker guitar than the J50 is. I do a lot of finger picking. What the J50 does for me that the J45 doesn't is when I'm finger picking on the J45, my like G and D string don't really have that resonance that the J50 does. It just doesn't, you know, vibrate completely through the guitar. You don't feel it in the neck like you do on the J50. If I could clone the J50, well, and the thing is about the J50, about the one that I have, is if I could just swap all my acoustics for that guitar, I would. I just don't want to pay. You know what I mean? I don't want to keep buying that guitar. I'm really scared to take it out on the road because I've been very, very fortunate and like nothing crazy about having like gear stolen. And so I know that the minute that I take that guitar out is the minute it's going to get stolen. I have this, and that could be an irrational fear. My J45 sounds great. It plays really well. If that guitar gets stolen, I can replace it. You know, the J50, I could replace that guitar, but I can't replace Bob having given it to me.
That's a real love story to a musical instrument. It's like, you know, I know you might have other loved ones in your life, but it's a special relationship with your guitar. So I find that very touching.
It's given me so much.
Yeah.
Why would I not, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't talk back to you either. You <know? laughs> Well, it does talk back, but only when you make it talk back.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Luckily, my close relationships are pretty incredible, but how many like friend relationships or relationships do people have that are so one-sided? It's like, yeah, I don't put a lot of stock in like really loving tangible things, you know, but that guitar it's different. It's got a pretty special spot in my heart.
So Freewheeling Feeling, I love your lyrics throughout the album, but there's a handful of lyrics that really caught my eye. The chorus, just finding my meaning and going about it my own way. I really like that. I really like, you talk about, so when my skin turns to leather and my heartbeat slows. I mean, that really captures. Oh, and here's one. We ain't searching for the finding is in the search.
Yeah.
Tell me about these things. What are you getting at?
So, if I have an interest in something, I have to know its backstory. I have to be knowledgeable in it. I think in life in general, there's so many questions that we're never meant to know the answer to. And talking about anxiety, that can be something that can bury you or throw you into an anxiety loop or whatever. And I think for anybody who wants to be knowledgeable in something that you might not ever have the answer to, you have to have faith, or you have to really find this internal peace with knowing that like you could study something your whole life and never really know the answer to it, and that'd be okay, you know? So for those lyrics specifically, it's kind of just a broad take on life. I think probably the meaning of life is way more simple than we think it is. It's when we start really digging, you know, is where we start making ourselves kind of crazy about it, you know?
We overcomplicate life.
We overcomplicate. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not supposed to be that difficult. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it's just the notion of like, you know, it's not the destination, it's the road to there, and allowing yourself to realize that, you know?
Yeah. Life isn't a static experience. It's a, you know, sort of ever evolving time continuum. And that's a road of sorts, a time road that we're all on.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.